Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
We drink tequila. We talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
It's always happy hour here at Team Tequila Talks.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know. Always happy hour at Team Tequila Talks. Welcome to Team Tequila Talks. Your host, Cassandra Dinamel, and Sherian Gonzalez. Okay, we're pouring some...
A little Blanco with your coffee.
Yeah, I know, right?
Blanco coffee. Coffee Blanco.
I didn't get a good coffee this morning, so I needed a...
Yeah,
I need a little something.
I know. I only had a half a coffee this morning. Not great.
I had breakfast, which I'm not a huge breakfast person.
Ooh, you should get into the breakfast.
I know. So this is an interesting thing. You know, we're going to be talking about food sensitivities today because we brought that up the other day with Nicole, mm-hmm. and people seem intrigued by that concept as a whole. So we are going to talk about food sensitivities, but, you know, we also should be talking a little bit about the endocrine disruptors and system, because we've talked about ways to swap out some of your maybe more toxic beauty products, household products, etc. So you're just putting less toxicity in your skin because all of those can be endocrine disruptors. What is an endocrine? An endocrine system is your hormone system. Now, this is not just your reproductive hormones. This is also your tell me when to eat, tell me when I'm full, tell me when it's time to sleep, tell me if I'm stressed. Like, that's cortisol, right? So you've got all these hormones that play a part. It's working in conjunction with your lymphatic system. And, you know, if your hormones are out of whack, you can all of a sudden put on like 8 pounds of water weight overnight.
Yep.
You can also get super stressed and it kills your diet and your body starts eating your muscle. And yes, you lose weight, but it's not the type of weight that you want to lose.
No.
It's not the healthy weight loss, right?
Yeah. You don't want to ever have your body eating muscle, eating protein.
Yeah,
like,
never.
That's just not the move. You know, the sleep thing, I've been going through a sleep journey. I'm now going to bed at 10:30 all week this week. And I feel so much better. But the problem is I'm trying to drink more water and I keep waking up to go pee. That's a problem.
Okay, so you're not supposed to... You're not supposed to... Oh my God, we didn't even do our cheers. Should we cheers with our coffee or our tea?
Yes, both. It's a double cheers.
So with the water thing, you're supposed to not drink within like 2 to 3 hours of going to bed. And you are supposed to hydrate. So it's not like, oh, just like dehydrate yourself.
You're not supposed to down it.
You're not supposed to
but
down
it. But I was sipping a tea. And this is my issue. I've been drinking like... I found that I was probably a little dehydrated from the weekend. So I was like doing all of my Catalyst, all of my stuff that I do for like rehydration I was doing. And then I was drinking tea last night at like 8:45, got my daughter down. And then I woke up at 2:15 to go pee and 5:15 to go pee, but they were kind of like phantom pees.
Yeah. So, okay. This is kind of where I'm getting though. That is less about your... need to actually empty your bladder. And this is more about what's going on that's waking you up. And that can be endocrine right. disruptors because right. that means that your hormones are not properly secreting that melatonin in yeah. your body that is saying, hey, it's time to sleep. And the interesting thing is I find that, you know, it's the same for me. When I am out of whack in one way or another, like I feel like even after I had COVID,
that's a big one.
Like that really did it. And that didn't more of anything. It did a number on my, on my inflammation.
Yeah.
I found that even my doctor was like, you should be taking Pepcid and, Claritin. Because you're completely inflamed. And this is going to tie into what we're going to talk about in a minute here with the food sensitivities too. Yeah. But I was so inflamed. I had this histamine response. Mm. And even when I had COVID, I had hives. Like I had weird hives.
Oh, you got the skin topical. Skin. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
This the second time I had COVID, not the first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they say it's different. They say it's different every time. I will say I slept like a baby when I had COVID.
Oh, really?
It put me in a deep, like I slept probably like 12 hours the first day.
Oh, wow.
And I woke up and I was sweating, but then I woke up, could not eat. I just had soup and then went back down for another 10. And then I felt better in 2 days.
So I had a hard time the first time I had COVID because it was kind of early on. It was in 2020 and this was the OG, pre-variant.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And you get this diagnosis and the thing was, is I felt fine. Like I had a bit of a headache and I was tired. I was fatigued, but I otherwise felt okay. So that was really unnerving for me because I'm like, what am I missing? Right. So yeah. My anxiety was at like a 10. So I was having a hard time going to sleep at night because I was by myself, isolating
right.
for a week and a half. And I'm like, what if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't breathe?
Right.
Because I feel okay. So I feel like if this is so bad, this is so scary. We're seeing like, you know, how bad it is on the news and everything.
Yeah.
And the whole world is shut down because of that, Mm-hmm. What am I missing is, am I going to like have a stroke in my sleep? Right?
Right.
So that was terrifying. So I had a really hard time with anxiety and I had to like take some anxiety meds to
a lot of people
sleep.
Yeah. A lot of people did. I mean, even during that time, like a lot of people did like Ativan or Xanax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your heart would race, right?
Yeah.
Cause you have anxiety and then you're like,
is my heart racing? I've got this right. vascular disease.
Right.
Or, you know, oh.
Right. So then it's like a hamster wheel of like anxiety. But I think the hormone thing for me, I've been on my own little personal hormone journey and I am someone who's very in tune with their body. I've been physical since I was like 7, done something physical. So I knew something was wrong with losing muscle mass.
Yep.
Eating the same where I was, it didn't change much. And I was like, wait, something and not sleeping and not, this is not what I'm drinking. Eat just normal. I normally can hit the bed, go to bed at a good time, get a full 6-7 hours and mm-hmm. wake refreshed. And I woke up groggy and just tired.
That is all of your hormones playing a part because your hormones tell you when it is time to wake up. Your hormones tell you when it's time to eat. Your hormones tell you, it signals everything when to poop. It signals everything in your body. So, you know, The getting back to the breakfast thing, I have been following a lot of these hormone studies that are happening right now. And they're saying, you know, it actually does matter when you eat. People are burning more calories in their workouts and throughout the day if they're eating earlier in the day as opposed to later at night.
Because that goes into intermittent fasting lane.
Yeah.
And that's a new study. I think I read the same one. That
it just came out in October.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just read the same one. Yep.
It's just very new.
Yeah. I do that. I mean, I just switched about a month ago eating before 10 a.m. And it's the hardest thing ever because I'm a noon
you're not
clocker.
Used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a noon to 1 p.m. eater. I intermittent fast.
Mm-hmm.
No, my body said goodbye. You're done with that because now.
So the interesting thing is too, is this is some of the things that there are obviously a ton of benefits to intermittent fasting. And a lot of these studies are saying, yeah, no, you should still intermittent fast, but you should be intermittent fasting from, you know, eat your dinner at like 5-6 o'clock and then just be done for the day. And that way you get like your 14-hour intermittent fast. And then when you wake up, eat within an hour of waking up, you're still getting your fast. You're still getting all of the benefits, but fasting can be, I don't want to say dangerous for women, but it's a lot trickier because men, they only really have testosterone regulating where they are at, and their levels are the same all the time. All assuming that there's not a, you know,
injury or whatever.
Or an illness or something. Yeah. But I remember seeing this chart, and for men, it's like testosterone, just 28 days out of the month.
Yeah.
They're, if you could pick any day and take a snapshot of their hormone profile, it's the same.
It's the same.
Right? But women have so much more going on. Mm-hmm. And we've got all of these things like progesterone, and you've got like these
daily. It's happening daily.
Oh, yeah. You could take a picture of a female's hormone and be like, that's day 7 of her cycle. Like,
totally. Or you can just not even that. You can look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I did nothing different, and my pants are a little tight. Mm-hmm. Because you're ovulating or you're about to start your period, or you just got off your period. Like, right. I just read this study about how some women, the moment their period stops, then they bloat.
Oh, I feel like I'm the other way.
So, most people are. And that just happened to me last month, where I was like, I just got off my period, and you retain more water. It's your hormone levels. It's just your body is not. And, you know, as you age, and what you did in your 20s, you can't do in your 30s. What you do in your 30s, you can do in your 40s. And I'm learning the hard way, because I'm like, no, I can still do this. No, you can't, because your body needs different things as you age. It's really as your hormones start to drop off a little bit.
We should have a hormone specialist.
I would love that.
Well, because another thing too is I follow this one yogi dietitian person, because that's me.
Love a yogi dietitian.
And she's all about, you know, eating lean and nutritious food. So she's very carnivorous and stuff. You know, okay. I'm saying like eat your organ meats. And I mean, it's like, listen, I don't love liver, so I don't know if I can get on that.
As a kid, I used to have to eat, as a kid, my grandma would make me liver and onions over with the gravy,
so good
over
for you,
rice.
But,
and she would do it in the winter, because she'd be like, this is going to keep you, you know, not getting sick.
Your granny was a smart lady.
I know.
You bringing her up.
But it was mushy. It was so disgusting.
So this is what they say is, if you don't want to eat liver, organ meats are the most nutrient dense that you can get. Obviously, we want to stick with organic and grass-fed and all of these things, pasture-raised, etc. But if you don't want to eat liver, you can take liver pills. Those are pretty common. So you get the you get the benefits of all of the nutrition of the liver, but you don't have to choke down a liver and onion.
Okay, so this is my issue with that, and what my hormone lady just told me like a while ago is, because I was like, I'll just have a protein smoothie in the morning. It's probably better for me to get it down than it is for me to eat like some turkey sausages. And she was like, no, you need to put something warm in your belly first thing in the morning. It's heat. Your body is cold when it sleeps, and then you wake up, the first thing that hits your stomach should be something warm for your body to work. Your body doesn't work on powder protein the same way as it works on actual protein.
I'm breaking it down. So that is what, like, this person that I'm following, she says the same thing. She's like, you cannot just add collagen protein to your coffee. You actually have to digest, because what you're doing is when you start a car and it's like, vroom, 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 like you're starting the engine for the day. And this was really tough for me to get on board with, because I have never been a huge breakfast person. And I would rather have like a massive dinner and get all the things, just in terms of taste of food, but also I'm hungriest at the end of the day as opposed to the beginning of the day. This is just how my body works. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also a night owl, not a morning person. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense. It tracks, right? But she was saying, she did one of those like, you know, TikTok videos where they dance and they do the ding, ding with the words that pop up.
Did you think?
Exactly. And she said, like, let me guess, you wake up and you have black coffee first thing in the morning. You feel great. You probably lost 5 pounds when you made the switch, but now you're gaining weight and you don't know why. And it's like all this stuff. And I was like, crap.
I know.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that I am, I don't feel like I'm gaining weight, but I can feel like this is not going to be working long term. This whole and I've been doing just coffee for breakfast for years, because I'm like, I'm not very hungry and I don't want to like take the time to sit down, and I'd rather just get my day going and then I'll eat at lunch and I will catch up. But the whole point is that you maybe do feel great and lose some weight right off the top, because your cortisol is just like firing and your cortisol levels are through the roof. And so you're sitting here being like, oh, but you know, a few years ago when I would start my day off drinking coffee and waiting to eat, like I had so much energy. But then you end up crashing, and then you wake up in the middle of the night having to pee because your body's all upside down. Your hair starts to thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know a girl who has skipped breakfast, not done the breakfast thing for a long time, and her hair's just falling out. She even admits, she's like,
I can't wear my hair down anymore.
Yeah.
My thyroid is wrecked.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all
endocrine. It's all endocrine. And there's something about, like, you know, I see these trainers online, like, oh, women over 40, you can't, let me get your muscle back. And it's like, bro, you need to have a doctor's help. It's just not so easy. It's like, oh, the reason why you're getting belly fat is because you're not doing enough crunches. That is like, no. That is 100%.
It's not that simple.
Not the reason.
It might be for men.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Men, my husband wakes up in the morning, and if you don't feed him within the first 30 minutes of his feet hitting the floor, yeah. I mean, he feeds himself. I mean,
if he isn't fed.
Right. He's like, I can't think. My brain. Women, we just kind of power through that. Yeah. And we're just kind of like, no, I'll think about that later. And when I have egg and just like a turkey sausage or chicken sauce in the morning, I actually feel better. And my brain is clearer. And my workouts are better.
See, I'm not there yet because I'm kind of starting to slowly introduce the concept of breakfast and protein. And they say you're supposed to have 30 grams of protein first thing in the morning. And I'm like, shit, that's so much protein.
It's so
that's
lot.
So much. It's like eight eggs.
No, but it's like four turkey sausage links and two eggs.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
What, because am you're I, just, a lumberjack?
Well, look, I shoved it. I did it. And I was so bloated when I first started doing it and like gassy. And my body was like, what are you doing to me? But now when I do it, I actually wake up and I'm hungry.
Well, because you're retraining your signals and your leptin. And like, so the thing is leptin resistance leads to insulin resistance, which means like an insulin resistance is basically pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is I am not showing any of these hormone symptoms yet, but I'm looking at all this research and I'm like, oh man, shouldn't I be retraining my body now?
Yeah.
But before the damage is done. Mm-hmm. So I'm still not quite there, but you know, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. It's just about taking steps in the right direction, making healthier swaps. And it's not about just waving a magic wand and all of a sudden being like, I'm doing everything textbook perfect.
No.
But I am now saying, like, okay, listen, I'm not super hungry, but I'm going to have an egg, or I'm going to get like a high protein, low fat, no sugar added yogurt. Because even though that's not like food, we were just saying a second ago about breaking down food, it's protein and it's kind of conditioning my body to get back into the groove. And I'm also not eating within exactly an hour of waking up, but I'm trying to pull it earlier and earlier. It's like,
I'm doing
maybe
it before 9 o'clock
10. Or 10 o'clock. Yeah,
because at 8 I'm not. I just get the kid up, take her to school, come back, piddle paddle, and then I like have to eat. But I can't, like, you know, my one girlfriend who's a little older than me, she's hard boiled eggs, and then she kind of just like eats two right when she wakes up. And she's like, I feel so much better. And I'm not there yet. But I'm a before 10 person. Like, I have to eat something before 10.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Well, endocrine disruptors play a huge role in diet. And if you're interested in this, you should definitely check it out. And we'll, of course, have some resources if you want to reach out to us. And we can, you know, send you some cheat sheets and whatnot. But we'll look into getting an endocrine specialist on here.
We need one.
I know. I just feel like it is this widely untapped, I guess not untapped, but a lot of people, when they put on weight, they're not like, oh, my hormones are messed up. They're just like,
Eight. Well, we used to call it, oh, you're getting older. So, but it's not normal to put on 20 pounds in a year.
No, it's not. I remember we had our friend Tony Bloom on and our new nutrition specialist. And he's specifically said before, I think he said 65 years old, or sick, maybe it was 60, that your metabolism does not slow down relative to your lean muscle mass.
No.
So a lot of people are like, I used to have a ton of time to work out when I was in college or before kids or whatever. And the reason, one of the reasons that a lot of people kind of have to go up a size in jeans is because they're not prioritizing that lean muscle mass, their protein intake. And so all of a sudden their metabolism slows, but it's not because of the age. It's because of the loss of muscle.
Yeah. And it's sort of kind of like women, we just do not as a whole group get enough protein a day. Most women are not consuming. With every meal, you should have protein.
Yep.
And it's, I don't do that. Sometimes it was like a salad. I'm like, oh, I need my veggies. I focus on like the veggies.
Me too.
But I'm like, you know, you need to have some grass fed something or some chicken or some turkey. And it does take down the fat. It's really weird how it happens because my body went wacky like a couple months ago. It does take down the fat and then you see more muscle, but not in a bulk. It's not like muscle in a bulky way. You just see that layer of fat kind of go away because your body is just feeding the muscle. It's not making it bigger. It's just giving it some nutrients.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's the layer of fat goes off. I know. I'm into it.
So overall, I can kind of think the theme of the day is, why have you gained 5 pounds and you haven't changed your lifestyle and you can't figure out why? Mm-hmm. So this could be an endocrine problem. This could be a hormone issue. Mm-hmm. But it also can be a food sensitivity issue, because you go through life and sometimes your body is going to start reacting to things differently. And they say that allergies are a snapshot in time, and some are lifelong. They are.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I know a lot of people that are intolerant to dairy, and they're just intolerant to dairy for life, yeah, right? Whether they're reacting to the lactose or the casein, right? Yeah. Like, either way, that one's the protein, one's the sugar, and some people react to one, other people react to the other. Mm-hmm. And bottom line is you can't have a glass of milk, and you gotta, like, if you eat some ice cream, it might upset your stomach.
So true.
Which are some of the telltale signs of food sensitivities. And the interesting thing is people kind of lump food sensitivities and food allergens together, but there's actually a different reaction happening in the body when this happens.
Yep.
Meaning you've seen somebody that has an anaphylactic allergy to nuts, right? Yes. And they have to carry an EpiPen because if something is cross-contaminated or it's airborne,
not be able to breathe.
They will not be able to breathe.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who is like, I know I probably shouldn't eat the grilled cheese, but you know, I really want the grilled cheese.
I'm just going to be on the toilet later.
I'm going to be on the toilet later.
It's going to be fine.
These are different things. So yeah, there's intolerances and there's allergies. And there's also within this different levels of intolerance. So an allergy, there's different antibody responses. So mm-hmm, there's an IgG and an IgB. Mm-hmm. And these are when you get your blood taken either at an allergist, or sometimes you can go to a wellness or holistic doctor and they can run a blood panel for you and tell you what your body is reacting to. It doesn't mean that you're going to die, but it could ruin your evening.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the difference.
Like bloating, diarrhea. When you, some of the signs when you know you have a food allergy.
Yeah, hit us with some knowledge, Sherry.
Yeah, it's more like bloating, diarrhea, gas. When you just ate something and your stomach just swole up, or you just feel very uncomfortable, that signals you may have a food sensitivity, yeah, or your body is, there's an autoimmune reaction to what you're eating. Now, it's different from autoimmune diseases and allergies. People get them confused sometimes, because my husband is someone who's hypersensitive to a lot of foods, mm-hmm, because of his autoimmune. So sometimes in restaurants, they'll be like, is it a real allergy or is it a, you know, because sometimes people are like, oh, I'm allergic to gluten, where it's like, you're not celiac, but you have a sensitivity.
Right. And they're cross-contamination is a big thing.
Right. My husband's body will attack his own intestines if he eats egg, dairy. So that's a different autoimmune response. But basically with allergies, the immune system overreacts to harmless allergens. It's the same type of response that expels viruses and parasites. So it's kind of like your standard milk, soy, eggs, nuts. I mean, most people, adults and infants, the peanut butter test, where the doctor, we went into when she was a little girl and they pricked her to see if she can eat peanut butter right away. Did you do that when she was like?
No, I feel like we just gave her nut butter and we were like, let's see how it goes.
Oh, you know what? You're probably in Canada. That's why.
Yeah, we were in Canada. That's not really a thing.
No, here they were like, you need to come in and do your nut allergy when she started doing like food. Was it 6 months, 8 months, whenever they start solid foods?
It's about 6 months. I mean,
they came in and they pricked her and for nuts and nut. But then it's usually generationally. Like they said, if you're very allergic to something, your child will, if mom or dad have allergies, it kind of passes to your children too.
It can be genetic for sure. Yeah. And Steven and I don't have hardcore allergies. We have a few things, sensitivities, if you will. So there's like, okay, there's sensitivity, there's intolerance, and then there's allergy.
Yeah.
Either way, if you are reacting to these things, you probably don't want to put it in your body.
Yes.
But we'll break it down, because a sensitivity, for example, I'm very sensitive to sesame seeds.
Yeah.
Am I going to die if I eat them?
No,
definitely not. Am I going to have to go to the hospital? No. Is it going to make me uncomfortable for several hours? Yes. So and the only way that you can really find these things out are if you do an elimination diet, which is the Whole30 diet is great for that. I think that the Whole30 diet is amazing for a reboot, a cleanse, a reset, and it's also going to take out any type of inflammatory food, including the top allergens, which are going to be peanuts, dairy, eggs, gluten.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe you can eat eggs on Whole30.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, but if you think you're reacting to eggs, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Okay.
But if you eat an egg and you're feeling all right, then like
then it's fine.
Right. But if
yeah,
you
I'm
think
good with eggs. But I know the leaky gut syndrome was a huge thing mm-hmm. maybe like 7-8 years ago, and that was a huge in the fitness world where it's like, do you have leaky gut syndrome?
Yeah.
Because eggs can cause or contribute to leaky gut. That is not my issue. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like moderately have a reaction to crab. But it's so low that I don't feel it because I love
just
a crab.
Like crab.
Oh my God. I go to those restaurants and I crack those. I love some crabs.
I don't think it tastes good.
Really?
No.
You like lobster?
Eh.
Oh, you don't like the that family.
I'm not a big seafood person. I mean, I'll do it if we're going to, you know, crustacean or like, right. Like if we're
well,
going
if you're,
to a nice...
if you're in Spain and you're on a boat and they fish 100%. Out a snapper with some garlic yeah. and olive oil, you're going
to
kill it.
Well, and you know, we went on a vacation to Mexico and there was this one at this nice resort. They just have this pop-up cafe. It's not even a full restaurant. It's just a guy. And he's like, here's what we caught this morning. And he fires up the grill and he's like, we've got these two sides. In that case, 100%.
Yeah.
But I am never inclined.
You're not going to go to a restaurant and order salmon.
No, yeah. No. Yeah. I actually hate salmon.
Yeah. I salmoned out in college. That was back when salmon was like, eat salmon, lose weight. I don't know if you remember that. But you're a little younger than me. And so all the dancers were like, salmon for lunch, salmon for dinner. Mm. And we'd buy the canned stuff because we weren't rich. So we would buy the canned salmon.
That makes it so much worse.
It was... Honestly, it was just like salmon salad, salmon sandwich, salmon everything because of the omega-3s and all that. But yeah, we're not going to go to a restaurant and order. I actually think it's ridiculous to go to a restaurant and order salmon, but that's just my opinion. You
yeah.
can make, they charge $45 for salmon. You can,
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's like $2.99.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, and it's farmed. It's not fresh.
Right.
So.
And, well, I mean, I think that everybody, I mean, I know a lot of people that are like, I just don't have the taste for red meat, or I just don't have the taste. Like my mom hates chicken, you know, like that's
so interesting.
And I always gravitate towards the chicken.
I do.
So,
chicken and I'm a red meat. I'm a chicken and red meat girl, even though there's a lot of misinformation out there about red meat causes colon cancer and all this stuff.
That is misinformation, and yes. We should just quickly clear that up because it's not the meat itself. There are actually no studies that prove that.
No.
It's the garbage. What they did, and this is exactly what this study was, and I think it was really irresponsible for the for it to be published in this light, but they didn't say, is there a direct causation from eating a steak and getting colon cancer? What they did is they – found people that had colon cancer and they said, what's your diet like? And they found that most of them were eating
red meat. Yeah.
But they're eating like 7-Eleven hot dogs.
That is not the red meat I am talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all the, and they're also eating tons that they weren't looking at all the other things like the sugar and the wheat.
Or the cigarette
and the
smoking
or lifestyle.
Because I do believe there are, and you know, I've talked to a bunch of oncologists. I've had the pleasure of having a lot of family members with cancer, and the oncologist told me, my sister, we were 13, and he goes, a lot of cancers we see today are lifestyle cancers.
Yeah.
And
totally.
A family member of mine, he's like, this cancer she has is because she's been smoking since she was 12.
Yeah.
And she's 75 years old. And guess what? The body, the lungs are regenerative, but they don't turn over if you keep burying it down. It's like your mm-hmm. liver. It's like you drink and you keep drinking, then yeah, it's not going to turn over. You're not going to give it a rest. That's why everything is in moderation. But I do believe a lot of things is lifestyle. And I think these studies are meant to kind of like make you afraid. Don't be afraid of red meat. If you like it, eat it. Get it grass-fed, organic. I think it's like at Whole Foods, they call it level 3 meat.
Yeah, I mean, anything you get at Whole Foods is going to not have antibiotics.
Yes,
and
at the very least.
Junk it. Jay!
Yes. Hello!
What up? How we doing?
Hey!
Yeah.
Hi! Jay Glazer. We're going to drink some Terramana. You got your Terramana? You have a lot of product back there.
Oh, we need to be where you are.
Well, Jay Glazer, welcome to Team Tequila Talks. We are going to chat with Jay a little bit. Cheers.
Cheers.
Virtual cheers.
Virtual cheers.
Okay. Love it. Nothing like starting our midday with some tequila.
Absolutely.
And some cheersing.
It's good.
So Terramana is Dwayne The Rock Johnson's tequila.
My niece.
Your
my
niece?
Yeah,
he's my your niece? Niece?
Yeah, right. Well, my baby niece. He's my cute little baby niece. Yes.
I love this. You know what? You know why I love The Rock and what you just said? Is because I see him and Kevin Hart have this long joke that they've been having where he, again, Kevin calls him baby bro. And obviously, like, they're not, like, it's the, what's that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the
Junior?
Twins.
No, Twins. Twins. Yeah, Twins. Yeah. You're right.
They should redo Twins.
Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yes!
I don't know why I feel the need to say the full name, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
It's, you have to.
You kind of have to, right?
You kind of have to.
Well, he, okay, so Terramana is his tequila. You guys are buds, or I guess niece and
nephew. Nephew. I mean, uncle. Niece and uncle.
Uncle. I'm the uncle.
Uncle Jay.
Okay, I'm Uncle Glaze. Yeah, Uncle Glaze.
Uncle Glaze.
Uncle Glaze. Have you had Terramana before, or is this your first?
I've had Terramana before.
Of course you've had. Okay, okay.
Coming out. Are you kidding me? I'm having it right now.
Did you taste test this before it came out? Were you a part of the crew that got to like?
I got out before it came out. Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is, listen, for the biggest star in the world, he is the most authentic friend I have.
Really?
Genuine.
I love that. I feel like I grew up with The Rock. I do, because my family was big wrestling fans growing up, and then to watch him transition into being a film star. I mean, his movie just came out to probably one of the biggest openings of his career. Black Adam just came out, and I was like, damn The Rock, damn Dwayne.
I feel like he's probably the most popular worldwide movie star right now.
The dude himself, he is the most authentic friend I have. So I wrote this book here, Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression, Anxiety into Motivation. And you can too. And I called him. I said, hey, you know, I know, you know, he and I talk mental health a lot. But who can we really lean on? You know, we lean on each other a lot. And we're not afraid of it. Like, no one's questioning our manhood. So we talk about it quite a bit. He and I, we get really, really vulnerable together. And when I asked him to do the forward, I said, I know it's probably, I don't want to put you in this position because sure, a million people ask you. And then if you do mine, they're going to be pissed at you. And he said, I don't care if they're going to be pissed at me. Like, you're going to be a voice for all of us in the gray. So yes, I got your back 100%. And within a day, he sent over the forward. So he's that. We had a really close mutual friend this past week whose daughter had a liver transplant. And I just sent him this message saying, hey, dude, I know you're in Spain or wherever it was. I said, but our boy, you know, his daughter's in for a liver transplant. I usually don't ask him because everybody in the world asks me because they know how close we are. Can you get him to do a video? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it fucking drives me nuts. Yeah. So in this case, man, if we could, you know, send a video, she could wake up to it. 3 seconds later, full video with him and his daughter.
Love that.
Wayne's daughter, and the two of them, like cheering her on for when she woke up from surgery. So he's the most authentic friend I have. He's that good of a dude. The guy that you see, you know, on all those Instagram posts.
I love his Instagram.
He's an even better person.
Awesome. His motivation videos, man, when he talks about his journey and plight, when he got cut from that football team and he thought it was over and all this. His whole journey to me is one of just like perseverance and just like balls to the wall. Like, I'm going to go out and do it, even if I get a million no's. And I think him as an actor, I mean, actors get no's probably more than anybody in the world.
Yeah. No. You live in rejection. My first 11 years of my career, I made $9,450 a year living in New York City.
And
I was rejected more than any human being I ever met in my life. And I just made a decision to be relentless in my pursuit of being this NFL insider and you know, being the, I was the first minute breaking news guy in the country when that internet thing first came out. I think it's going to catch on.
That internet thing. Yeah.
It's that relentless thing. You have to get people always say, like, how do you get, what's the secret of success? Be willing to be more rejected than anybody in the history of life.
It's literally
resilience.
And Dwayne still thinks like next week, he's going to have $7 in his pocket. He's going
to
be broke.
And hey, you have to work like the rent was due last year.
Absolutely.
I don't care how much money you have. You can't get comfortable, not because it's a money thing. And I know a lot of people get really confused with this mentality. They say, how much money can you have? But it's not a money thing. It's the thing that feeds your soul, like your purpose and what you put on this planet to do is what you should always pursue. The moment you stop an idle mind, like feeds the devil type of thing, where it's like, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and that mind starts to work against you, that's when things really start to go like south.
Well, it's an energy thing. It's momentum, right? Because if you're telling the universe, I'm content and I'm just good and I'm going to chill, which sometimes for mental health specifically, yeah, sometimes you do have to take a little break. Yeah. You definitely need to show the universe and for yourself and for your connection with everybody and everything in the greater ether, all this stuff. You've got to say, this is the direction I want to head in life, right? This is what I want out of life. And I'm not just going to sit around and watch life go by.
And it wears you out. It sucks being rejected as much, messing with people's mental health. I don't care if you're the biggest star in the world. You've been rejected at some point. Absolutely. More than anybody else you know.
Totally.
And you know, the other thing I really learned on my journey is that my wallet is not an antidepressant.
Nope.
You know, I thought it was going to be rainbows and unicorns when I made it. And I got there. It wasn't because I'm not good here. Like, mm-hmm. I got to learn how to love myself from the inside out. And no amount of money in the world is going to get me there. And that was a stark reality for me. But because I was born with this level of depression, anxiety, I don't really know how to love myself from the inside out. Mm. So it forced me to go do all these great things to get some love from the outside in. And I'm hoping at one point they meet in the middle, and I'm not there yet. But part of that was, all right, man, if I go get, you know, this fame and fortune, then it's going to fix me in between my ears. And that just wasn't the case.
Because we promote, I think a part of the American dream is that you work hard, get some money, white picket fence, house, two and a half kids, and then you've made it. And I think the goal is to get there. And we don't promote enough about what you're doing and feeding your mind and your soul on the way there. And I think I just talked about this the other day to my husband, Kobe Bryant. You know, he was always very conscious of...
Wait, your husband, Kobe Bryant?
I know.
I talked to my husband about this the other day about Kobe Bryant.
Okay, like, so she's missing a pause there, though, right?
Like, Vanessa, polygamous relationship. Vanessa, with ghost.
Don't listen to these two. Okay. I have a husband. No, but I was talking about how Kobe Bryant was always like, his mentality was like, he didn't negotiate with himself. He was like, I don't negotiate with myself. Yeah. If I have a goal, I set my goal. And once I set the goal, it's not about how I'm feeling that day as opposed to what it is. But then he backtracked. So if he was feeling negatively that day, then at the end of the day, he would go backwards and address his mental health, which I think a lot of people we push through.
He was ahead of the game.
Yeah. He was ahead of the game. And I think a lot of us, we push through on our goals, and then we just kind of let it stack up, the emotional, mental health part of it, psychological part of it, and then it crashes on us. And then you're like, I have this money, I have this house, I have my wife, my kids, my daughter, and I'm in like the south of France on a yacht, and I'm fucking miserable.
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was ahead of the game, where I try and push a lot now also, is that mental health is so reactive, and it's not proactive enough. But we should put as much in work in our mental health as we do to our physical health, right? So that's what Kobe's kind of saying. Like, if he has a sprained ankle, he throws everything at it.
Yeah.
He's also going to throw everything at it between his ears, behind his rib cage as well. Too many people wait until the sky's falling to do that.
Yep.
We got to do it beforehand. And that's where he was brilliant.
Yeah, right. And that's even, you know, meditation and therapy, you have to, it's like going to the gym. And, you know, it is like you're reserving time and you're taking your brain and soul to the gym. And you got to do it even if you're feeling great. Because you don't stop going to the gym once you're like, I look pretty good. We're good.
Nope. it's a daily thing.
It's a practice. Yeah. It's a practice.
Well, I talk to football teams about this. They say, you guys don't only catch passes when you have the drops. And you don't always only, you know, practice tackling when you're missing tackles. You do it all the time. You don't just lift when you're feeling weak. You do it all the time. So why aren't we doing that same thing with our mental health?
Yep.
Like, it's just not ingrained enough yet. And that's where I'm trying to, you know, give this word for people to start talking about a lot more and it becoming normalized.
Absolutely. And I think with men in general, I think there's been a stigma to not tell your buddy. You know, yeah. I think it's great what you and Rock have. A lot of men don't have that guy that's like, hey, man, I'm feeling down. Like, I know my husband has, you know, his friends. He can be like, hey, can you pray for me, man? And send him a quick text. I'm like, yo, I need some prayer. I'm having an anxiety attack. And I feel like a lot of men don't have that type, where women were like, girl, I had a day. I am calling you and I'm about to vent. Men just don't have that outlet. And especially like male athletes. I mean, football players, baseball players, basketball players, hockey players, they're taught, you know, men have this kind of facade that they have
to keep it in. Yeah. And that's, look, you know, Cassandra's been to our gym, Unbreakable, and she's seen me train football players and fighters.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm part of the problem because I say to the guys, don't show it. Don't take a stool in between rounds. Don't put your hands on your hips. Neutral face. Don't show
me
your
hurt. Don't take a knee.
Yeah, right. Don't. You're right. We do not sit down in between rounds.
No. Nope.
Do not ever show it. I'm going to break you mentally. I'm going to break you inside that cage or on that field by having you look at me going, damn, why is Glazer not sitting down? How come Cassandra doesn't have her hands on her hips? What is going on here? And that's how men are conditioned. And now I'm asking that we go the complete opposite of that. And that's how we're going to make it. And that's my level of depression, anxiety, or clinical. It's the earliest memory I have. So I don't know what it's like not to live in what I call the gray. Mm-hmm. And the gray is depression, anxiety, ADD, mm-hmm. You know, throw it all together. It's, you know, LMNOP, whatever you want. Add it all together. But when I am struggling now, I will call four people that are friends of mine to let them know I'm struggling. Dwayne's usually almost always on that list. Man, I'm fucked up between the ears today. I'm struggling. And it makes me feel better. But then I'll call four other people or other dudes and not let them know I'm struggling just to check up on them. Mm-hmm. That's me being of service. And that's like another thing that helps me through is being of service, helps me through my own grades. I have these teammates, right? Having a team, being of service, all these things help me.
Well, one of the things that I love with a workout that I love to do on the road because it's no equipment, it's super raw, you get vocal, you know, you go, and you get out all of that energy, and I could do it barefoot in a hotel room. And that always reminds me of get uncomfortable in your body and in the gym so that when real life makes you uncomfortable out there, you're like, I can handle this. I can sit with this. I remember what it was like when I had my heart rate at 165 and I'm screaming because I'm letting out my day and my glutes are on fire and all of this stuff. You want to get comfortable with that discomfort. Mm-hmm. So when the comfort that you can't control comes at you out in the real world, you're a bit better equipped because you don't freak out. Like, what is this feeling? I'm so uncomfortable in my body right now.
Yeah.
And there's such a proven link between mental and physical health, which is why when a lot of people have anxiety, what do they tell you? They're like, do you
get up
exercise?
And move. Yeah. Breathe. Yeah.
Right away. Absolutely. Yeah. Did you ever notice, Cassandra, also, we're the only gym in the world that I specifically kept one thing out of the gym. Do you know what it is?
I feel like I don't see a treadmill in there.
I've been there once. Right. I've been to your gym once.
I know. I'm trying. No, I'm
there's,
like, I'm getting
there's
looking.
No, I noticed there was no spin bike. No, there is a wind bike.
There's no mirrors.
Not a single mirror in the place.
I remember that.
I don't want anybody's back turned to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, health-wise, we need a team.
Yeah.
So I don't want anybody else checking themselves out. I wanted us all be part of the same team. So I specifically kept mirrors out for that reason.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It took me a minute, but I was sitting here looking at the gym in my mind going, what's not there? I guess there is a treadmill in the corner.
And
now that specifically was for that because I didn't want anybody's back turn to the rest of the team. Yeah. I want them all to be in this together and walk this walk together. That's what you're talking about. You get yourself uncomfortable in there. We could all check our egos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we all have a team together to walk together with outside those doors.
Right. And what you're talking about is community, which I think a lot of times, you know, athletes, you know, they grow up with that. You know, I have family members who are professional athletes and they always have had a community. So I think when you play a part of a team, or a part of an organization, you know, they become like family or they have to, you know, your football player, your quarterback is like daddy in a sense, you know what I mean? And then you have all of your other family members on the team. And I think what most people don't realize, isolating yourself away from people or not finding your tribe can be detrimental.
And people say, well, who's my team? So for me, like Unbreakable is a team for me. My fight team is a team. My Fox NFL Sunday crew is a team. When I was on Ballers, that was a team. But like God's a team for me. My son's a team. My dog is a team. Yeah. We have teams around us. There's friends who are all can make up these teams. We just have to realize it. We're not as alone as we think.
Right.
It's true. Even though the world is built to make us feel like you're more alone, but you got to find your tribe, man.
Find your tribe.
That's what I say too. Like
social media.
I talk about my level of depression and anxiety because mine's clinical. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have clinical, like we all have it. Listen, Instagram makes us all think our lives suck, right?
Yeah, doesn't it?
We're comparing ourselves to everybody else's filtered filtered.
Photoshopped.
Yeah. A second yeah. of one day.
Yeah.
And we're going, how come my meal doesn't look like that? Why yeah. am I still left out? Holy yeah. shit. My body doesn't look like that. It's fucking terrible.
Well, it's interesting too, because I had someone come on and say like, oh, you're only posting the photos where you're out with your friends or on vacation. I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you want a picture of me on a Tuesday doing laundry? Like, there's, of course I'm only posting the good stuff. You don't want to see like me sitting in traffic.
Right. It's everyone's highlight reel. Yeah. And I think, you know, you watch like top 10 at night on SportsCenter. It's like, that's what Instagram is to me. It's like top 10.
It makes
it's
you feel like, left out. It makes does. Us feel left out.
And you got
to
put
those of us who have great lives, we feel left out.
I know. When you, especially when you see people doing fun things and you're like, shit.
I'm on my couch.
I'm on my couch.
Right now. Although I love a couch night. Not
I'm not that successful. Yeah, you are. But like it's just terrible. And, you know, look, because for years when we try to work to get to where we are, it's all those hours you put in when no one's watching that gets you successful.
Yeah.
But that's
it's
not
the boring
it
stuff.
It doesn't happen anymore because now everybody's watching.
Yeah.
I mean, people put their, people put their workouts online now. It's like, what I loved pre-social media was like athletes were just great and you never knew how they obtained that greatness. You never saw them working out in the gym unless there was like some camera there for whatever interview. And then they just, every Sunday or football or basketball, you just saw greatness. You're like, damn. Nowadays, you can see the technique coach on Instagram, the stairs and the ladders and how high they jump. And
I'm always even like when I go into Unbreakable, one of my favorites is in the summer, it's basketball off season. And I'll like be sitting in the recovery room
this
and I'm
8 foot giant.
There
comes
are
in.
3 7-foot gentlemen surrounding me right now. And they're in the gym for hours,
I
right?
know.
That is a lot of work, and it should be because that is their profession, and you also got to work in the recovery. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
But it's crazy because most people, I didn't see it firsthand until I went to Unbreakable and watched these athletes train there in the off season. And it's like, wow, this is your off season, and you are in here for 4 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah. Damn right, and that's that's the difference between goodness and greatness.
And greatness,
These guys suddenly they have 24 hours a day to work on their craft. When they're in college, they don't. Right. So that's why so many draft picks are bust because they come in the NFL and they still put in the same amount of work they did in college. No, let's find the guy that's going to use the extra 18 hours like the way Tom Brady does. That's why he's great. It's like I tell these guys all the time. You want to know the secret of success? Find out who the best is and do more than that.
Time.
Yeah.
Time. I just
being
heard.
Great, being famous is not the same as being great.
No. And the reason why they are famous is because they are great. It's kind of like, but I
a
think
a lot of times they think it's the same. So they'll do just enough to be famous. That doesn't make you great. Like, so those hours that Cass is talking about that you put in, that makes you great.
Yeah. It does. And I think, you look at like, someone like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, or, I mean, look, Russell Wilson isn't playing that great right now, And I follow him on Twitter and he kind of tweeted the other day, like, he was like on a flight back from wherever he was flying, doing lunges and jump squats in the middle of the plane. And I was like, people were laughing at him. And I'm like,
you gotta get it in.
No. But we're only laughing because he basically said he was doing a marathon at 33,000 feet. That's ridiculous. No one's going to let
you. Is this some type of Denver altitude training? He's now in the Mile High City and he's got to like.
Hey, dude, get the reality. You're not going to do four hours. It's a marathon. And he has a pulled hamstring. So no coach is going to let you do that.
Because, I know.
So it's just like Russell's just kind of gotten lost. And just wanted to be this brand, this star.
Well,
off, but then he says things like this.
Right. I don't know if you ever heard about this, Jay, but this is a famous Kobe quote. And like, it's my favorite. I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan, obviously. Right. And this quote, literally, I remember it was back when Caron Butler was playing for the Lakers and that whole squad weren't playing very well. And so Kobe was like, this motherfucker came in the locker room and asked me, hey, I need a stylist. It was like a rookie. And Kobe was like, you need a stylist? And he was like, yeah. He's like, oh, and a publicist. Kobe was like, clothing. So Kobe goes, you need a stylist and a publicist? He's like, yeah. He's like, motherfucker, you scored 2 points last game. Like, you had one rebound. He's like, I hate this. He's like, I hate the social media crap because it's ruined.
Being famous ain't the same as being great.
That is correct. Jay, are you drinking the silver or the Añejo or the Reposado? You're doing the repo. Okay. We have this silver and the Añejo over here.
Yeah, I'm back over here too.
Yeah. Ooh. So we're doing, not a flight. Can you do a flight with two? No.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay.
This is called takeoff landing.
Takeoff and landing. Well, okay. So I was going to say
fantastic.
the jump from usually when you do a flight or when we taste, we'll sometimes do silver and then reposado and then añejo. But we didn't have the reposado and we're like, okay, well, let's just do the silver and the añejo. Well, and I have to say, the jump between the two, like the silver tastes completely different than the añejo.
Yes.
This is, I mean, whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
It's very light. That's what I noticed about
it's a
his,
very light
it's
repo.
It's a very light repo.
It's
yeah.
clean. It's very clean.
Very clean.
Does it taste light? Is it like?
It's so clean. I'm not saying this to my friend. I'm really not.
Well,
it
this
is clean. I love it. When I call him for, you know, more cases, it's because I drink the shit out of it.
Right. Well, you know
that's
what,
a
Jay?
Good reason.
Can you tell The Rock that I wore this specifically for him? This is old school.
With your little necklace. Yep. That's it. You need the fanny pack. It's his outfit.
I almost wore a fanny pack. I was like, ooh, I need, ooh, we're having Jay. He's really close to Terramana. This is my Terramana Rock swag, my turtleneck, fantastic. Old school.
I feel like you blend in great with this bottle right here.
Yes.
Well, it's very like, I find the añejo, it definitely, it's so it says it's aged in whiskey bottles. And I didn't even need to read that to know that because you take a sip of it.
Yeah. Of it, too. He puts time, like, he is the busiest guy in the world, but he puts so much time and effort into this. That's why he's authentic.
Yeah.
He doesn't just put his name on things.
Well, one of the reasons that we are always talking about the balance between nutrition and staying physically active and lifestyle choices, but also kicking back and having fun and drinking some tequila. And the best way to drink tequila, if you are in a hardcore training routine, which I imagine you see
all the time
owning a gym and being friends with Dwayne and all this stuff, is tequila on the rocks. That's right? Like, we don't add a bunch of sugar to it. We're not mixing it with stuff.
I put a lime in too, because my body works well with lime.
Yeah.
My body is not good with it. So we have a nutritionist. Have you done that, Unbreakable Nutritionist?
So I haven't done it at Unbreakable, but before I came to Unbreakable, I did it because I was getting sick like every day. And it turned out it was the stupid almond milk. I was putting almond milk creamer in my coffee.
So we do blood tests at Unbreakable. It's $1,500. Woman named Denise. Incredible. What turned out, so what she does, she tests you for everything that acts as an anti-inflammatory and inflammation for you. And it turned out for me, the foods that are inflammatory for me were spinach, lemon, asparagus, ginger, soy, carrots, green apples.
Wow.
Those are so random and you would never
unless
you took a blood test.
Oh my God. Denise did this test for me. I've had psoriasis for 10 years. I've been on two different medications, one injectable, one pill, just to stop the spread. I took those foods out of my system. It was gone in 17 days.
Boom.
I've had it back. 17 days.
This is why I tell people all the time, nutrition is not at a group level. It's at a micro. It's not a macro. It's a micro level. And you have to know what your body can and cannot process. Because, look, we come from generationally family members who were, 100 years ago. We don't know what they couldn't have. So you don't know. You can't ask your great-great-great-great-grandfather what he's allergic to.
I know what I can't have.
Well, they found out the hard way.
You found out the hard way. And I think blood test or any type of test you can do that tells you what's causing you inflammation is for long-term health is probably the best as you get older.
And I know not all the people watching here have $1,500 laying around to spare. If you do, call Unbreakable and talk to Denise and get that done, because it's a game changer. But also for you, if you realize, okay, I'm having a certain type of food and my arm is itching after, or I'm getting sniffly, or I'm doing, like, realize it. Take a mental note to yourself and go, all right, maybe it doesn't matter how healthy something may be for you.
Well, spinach is so healthy. Yeah, like yours are spinach and asparagus.
I know, carrots,
green apples, and carrots,
apple, and lemon, and ginger.
Yeah, and we're talking about fruits and veggies here.
Well, ginger's your like winter flu shot. Ginger,
oh my God, right?
I know.
Well, green apple for me is like a huge one because I love apple juice. That's like my thing. Like on a plane when I don't want to drink, I'll drink apple juice with like club soda.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like I'm having like a
cocktail, a whiskey,
a mocktail.
And now I realize those juices were killing me.
So the way, and this is just to, we've mentioned this in the past on prior episodes, but allergies and intolerance can be a snapshot in time. You can heal your gut, but you have to really give it that time, because your gut can't heal if you continue to aggravate it with something that is aggravating it.
Reintroduce it eventually. And that's what Denise was helping me with.
You have to heal your gut first, because if you're eating foods that are inflaming your gut, then we're getting back into leaky gut syndrome and all of this stuff.
You know, but she found out I had candida too, and we're leading to leaky gut. So.
A lot of men have candida. Yeah. You know, a lot of, you know, candida gets a bad rap with women. They're always like women in the yeast, but men can be yeast.
I got past it, but it took me months and months and months and months.
It takes
your gut's your second brain.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
know, it really, your gut health affects your mental health a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The brain and gut axis, there's now all of these new studies. They kind of knew before, like a lot of holistic doctors and wellness doctors knew this, and even Eastern medicine and acupuncture knew this. Well, they, I mean, like the gut and brain axis is now proven, and they have all of these studies that are coming out going, wow, if your gut is messed up, it can worsen anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And you can feel the fluttering in your heart because your gut is inflamed and you're eating something. So you're talking about mental health. Meanwhile, you're probably just discovering recently with all this new food science that you're actually ingesting these things that are exaggerating your anxiety. Yeah.
So I just got back from Thailand. I want to... 35-day eat, pray, love, you know, mind, body, you know,
mind, body,
spirit journey, and to try and work on my mental health and my physical health. So they took Denise's test and they did two extras also. And then they would give me a lot of foods that they knew were good for me. So for like, I'm good with papaya and coconut and sweet potatoes and things like that. So they try to heal. They were trying to heal me from the inside out, from my gut. They give you 3 massages a day to calm down your nervous system.
Oh my God.
Then you meet with these monks to help you with your mental health.
Ooh.
And it was deep.
Really?
I walk in my very first day and this monk looks at me and he's like, "Ooh, you're in a lot of pain.
Oh,
you gotta learn how to start loving yourself." And I'm like, he's talking to me.
Yeah.
And then this other monk comes up to me like the next day and he just hugs me. He goes, "We're all going to be praying for you this week." I'm like, damn, I'm fucked up. Like, I know I'm fucked up and I'm usually good with my fucked upness.
Right.
I learned some beautiful, beautiful things out there.
Wow. You got to let us know where this retreat is. I love it. Mental health.
Kamalaya.
Is Kamalaya it one place? Like you're in a resort, like it's a spa.
It's a resort.
Wellness. Okay.
Yeah, it's a wellness resort. It's beautiful. And I need it. I went through some things this year. You know, when I came out with my book also, I went through some traumatic things right when the book launched and I wasn't able to enjoy it. I had a family member that attempted suicide and man, here I am coming out with this book. And I was like, fuck, you can help out all these other people, but you can't help your own family member. And it was a struggle for me for a little while. And I went down a bad path for a bit. And as I started, you know, being there for everybody else with their mental health, I wasn't really taking care of my own. And then to write the book, I stopped all my treatment because I really wanted to describe depression, anxiety in the world. And that wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done. That was for a 7 or 8 month period. And I need treatment. I need therapy. I need my supplements. I need to meditate. I need all these different things. And I just stopped. And it was dangerous.
Yeah.
And I needed to do something to get myself, I lost myself, to get myself back on track. The very first day, this monk says to me, "Hey, I want you to take the next 3 days and do like the monk thing and not talk to anybody." I said, "Well, shit, I got ADD. That's going to be hard." She said, "We want you to sit in your pain 3 days." I said, "I sit in my pain every day." He said, "No, you experience your pain every day. You don't sit in it." He said, "We want you to sit in your pain." And they said, "The little kid, when you were growing up, was your name Jay?" I said, "No, it was Jason." I said, "Okay. For 3 days, we want you to sit in your pain, really feel it, and hold little Jason's hand. And let him know it's going to be okay. Show him compassion because he doesn't feel like he's having any." Like,
that's so good.
That's great.
Crying right here, but holy shit. You've got to start healing the little kid in you.
Yeah.
Well, because we're all
back up from the inside out that way. Yeah. They say fucked up from an early age. Yeah.
8 and 9. They said everyone you meet, if you can see them as 8 and 9 years old, mm-hmm. and we've all have some trauma on some level. Mm-hmm. No one has a perfect childhood. No, there's no perfect parent. No. There's no perfect spouse. And so it's like, if you could see everyone through their 8 and 9 year old lens and take care of your 8 and 9 year old, me and my husband, we have this saying where it's like, you know, we've been in therapy for like 15, 17 years where we're always just like, "How you doing?" It's like, "How you doing?" Yeah. But we're asking each other's like child, you know, because you can neglect each other's little baby inside. You know, I protect my 8 year old. Yeah, I protect my 8-year-old. I protect her. She is beneath a shield. We kind of open up a little bit more of that vulnerability for that adolescence that we all are. No one's an adult. We're all we're all cosplaying adults.
All right. No, and that's for me. I'm on a journey now to heal little Jason. Yeah. And I do things every day now to try and heal him and to protect him. And there's a lot that goes along with that. There's a lot of responsibility, you know, but I'm learning. Like I said, I'm a work in progress.
You're doing the good work. That's called the good work.
And I'm sharing it with the world.
Yes.
And that's what I think. Until I wrote this book, I always felt like I was cursed with depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
And now, for the first time in my life, because how many people I now hear that is being helped by my words, I feel like maybe God blessed me with depression, anxiety.
You know, you turn those frowns upside down. I mean, look, everybody's adversity can be your win. You just got to flip it and understand why you had to go through that to get to the win.
Yeah, well, because you can't control what happens to you or the hand that you were dealt in life, but you can control your perspective.
Yeah.
And you can control how you manage that hand.
Am I lying to you?
No.
It's an everyday thing. It's every day of my life. Yeah. Every single day, I got to get up, make that decision to get out of bed, and it's hard to get out of bed every day because mine is... on a deep level, but man, I make that decision, then I decide I'm going to be relentless in life.
Love that. Well, on that note, we're going to encourage everybody to be relentless in life. And Jay Glazer, thank you so much for joining
us. Be relentless and unbreakable.
And sharing Tara Mana with us.
Can you tell The Rock we said hi?
Of course.
We don't need a video.
Oh, I did tell him I was doing it.
Oh, yes, maybe send him a linky poos of our thing.
Cheers, Jay. Thank you for joining us. Check out his book, Unbreakable. You can pick up Unbreakable by Jay Glazer. You can see him on TV.
There's a podcast now, Unbreakable, and it's called Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, anywhere you get podcasts.
Nice. We will link all the things on our link page.
Thank you guys for joining us on Team Tequila Talks.
Appreciate you
guys. Yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Love y'all.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. Great.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.